this on? Yeah. Great. Tonight, I'm going to, I hope I get through tonight, but yeah, pray for me as we're doing this talk. I'm going to preach on a passage of scripture that's probably had some of the most impact of my life through the good times and the bad times. So I'm quite excited about what God's placed on my heart to share with you, but yeah, hopefully we'll get through it all. And even just this afternoon, see when we encounter God and God just brings us more revelation, it just blows me away each time. So, yeah, it's great. Your future. Does anybody worry about your future? Okay, turn around to the person next to you and just discuss. If you're not worrying about anything, you just tell the person next to you what you're excited about, okay? So, about your future. Is it anything frustrating that you need to know about your future? Have a wee chat for a few minutes. Introduce yourself. Fantastic. I think in the line of work that I do, and some of the, I have loads of discussions with people. Either they're, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, I don't know where I'm going, or I've got it all figured out, and then something happens, and it doesn't work out. And I've had plenty of people shedding quite a few tears in our office. I'm sure that, you know, it's a really, really important issue for every single one of us. Sometimes we just want to know what the future holds. Sometimes we wonder, is God going to answer this prayer or not? And as an introduction to what I want to speak about, I want you to think of 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And it just says, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Last week, I don't know if you were here last week the kind of message I wanted to get across, that in our worry and anxiety, we need to know that God's good. And if you don't get anything out of tonight, the one thing that I would really just try and remember to take away, that not only is God good, but God cares. And he cares about every area of our life, and he cares about our future. And how much we worry about the unknown, or sometimes you may know what's up ahead and you're worrying about it. But it's definitely something that a lot of us struggle with. And tonight, I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm not going to give you a formula, okay, on how to discern God's will for your future. And if you do this, this is what's going to happen. But what I want to do is I want to look at scripture and give you some advice. Because I believe that the scripture is just full of lots of just wonderful pieces of treasure, which just enable us to live the life that God has called us to live, which helps reveal the plans and the purposes that he has for us. I mean, some of us might be going through some major decisions and having to make major decisions right now. Others of us are sitting exams. God, show me, what is in this exam? What do I need to study for? Reveal these things to me. Just trust them. Sometimes we have to make decisions about relationships. Who am I going to marry? Do you want to get married? Are you praying about a life partner? Are you trusting God with that? Jobs, career prospects. I know it's really hard. Someone told me recently that someone came into the uni and sat them down at the beginning of the first year and said, just want you all to know there's no jobs in this field. That's how these guys were supposed to start off their studying. But I believe that God's much bigger than all of that. And tonight I want to help us look into a passage of scripture which will just really reveal some great treasure on how we can trust God with our future. So it's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This is a verse when I got my first Bible as a teenager. As an adult, my first adult Bible, moving from children's Bible, that my parents put this right in the front cover. And some of you might know it by heart, some of you may have forgotten about it. But it says, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray together and just ask God to come and speak to us. Father, I just thank you for this piece of treasure that you've put within your word to just equip us and enable us to move into the plans and purposes that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you will just speak to us. Help us to encounter you tonight. And help us to go away from here knowing, God, how much you care. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Trust is not easy, particularly if your trust has been broken. And a lot of us are probably sitting here, I don't know all your individual stories, I don't know the journey that you've walked on, I don't know the baggage that you've carried when it comes to trusting others, trusting people. But tonight I want us to look at how we can trust God better. And the first part of this passage that we're looking at, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And all through this week, I've just really been mulling over just this one line, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And what does that mean and what does that look like? And I was looking, I don't know, has anybody read the book Wild at Heart by John Eldridge? Nobody. Okay. Well, it's a great book if you really want to read. Anyone read Captivating? Any girls read Captivating by John Eldridge's wife? Okay. When I was going through some just really having some time out when I was in New Zealand for a year, I really enjoyed reading a lot of his books. And John had this, his writing is very much really identifies with the way that I think. It's very creative. And what he says is there's a lot of people in the church live their Christian lives very passively. Okay. And sometimes we just forget how to engage with our hearts. And in that, we really miss out the full potential of the plans and purposes that God's got for us. Because life is just about plodding and life is just about getting by. And he's written this book called The Sacred Romance and teaching us how to really re-engage with our relationship with God, with all of our heart and what that looks like. And in an introduction to what he wants to speak about with regards to his heart, he's written a few things here about the heart. The heart is a place of great mystery, yet we have many expressions which help us understand it. So let me just read a few of them. Okay. A person without compassion is heartless. Our deepest hurts we call heartaches. Jilted lovers are broken-hearted. Courageous soldiers are brave-hearted. Truly evil are black-hearted. Saints have got hearts of gold. If we speak intimately with someone, it's like we're having a heart-to-heart chat. On holiday, we might like to recall the conversation being light-hearted. When we're in love, we love with all our heart. And when we lose our passion, you've heard the expression, my heart's just not in it anymore. But the heart is the centre of who we are. And there's another little piece of treasure in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And when we look at this passage in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, we're talking about full engagement here. We're talking about everything that we are with all of my heart. And the reason I just read out that whole list, because sometimes I think we need to just take a little bit of time and say, well, what is my engagement in my relationship with God at the moment? Am I a little bit half-hearted with the way that I live my life or just in the way that I communicate with my Lord and Saviour? But one of the great things is that even if we experience things like broken-heartedness and some of the negative things along there, God can fix it. God can put anything back together, and I'm sure a lot of us have got stories which will really just be a testimony to God restoring our hearts sometimes. But when we look at this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, okay? The word trust means to lean with our full body. It's to rest the full weight upon, okay? In our thinking, the word trust means just to rely on or to have confidence in. But in this passage, it's much, much more. The word is a lot stronger. Just think of the whole idea of stretching yourself out on a bed and the bed taking your whole weight. Trust in God with all of your heart. Relying completely and totally and utterly upon him. When we're discerning God's will and God's purpose for our lives, or even just looking at our future, sometimes this can be really key when we're fully engaged with our heart and our relationship with God. Let me give you an example. I had the opportunity to do a gap year. I may have shared this story before, so if I had, just bear with me. But I had the opportunity to do a gap year. And sometimes we do get frustrated in our faith when we pray for something and we don't always get an answer. Sometimes we pray and God reveals himself and he shows and he answers. And sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes God is silent for a reason. And that's because he wants us to grow in him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us, our faith, to be increased. And if we have everything landed on a plate, then it doesn't always work out like that. So I had this opportunity to pray to God. God, where do you want me to go? I'll go anywhere. I was really excited about doing a whole gap year. I don't know if any of you have done a gap year or anyone's thinking about it after university or whatever. It's just a whole sense of excitement. So I was praying. I was worshiping God. I was reading my Bible. And then I applied to a few places. So I got accepted to go to two places. I got accepted to go to Brazil and I got accepted to go to Albania. And I was like, oh, Lord, show me where you want to go. I'm getting really annoyed because I had to make this decision in 6 weeks, okay? So I prayed for the whole 6 weeks and it got to the second last day and I was getting really frustrated with God because, you know, I was up for anything. And I really loved him with all of my heart and I wanted him to show me where he wanted me to go. And so I went to chat to one of the wise leaders in our church at the time, and I said, look, I'm just really annoyed at God because here's me willing to go anywhere and he just won't tell me where to go. And he said, Rosie, where do you want to go? I said, Brazil. I said, why do you want to go to Brazil? I said, because the weather's really nice and it's really far away, and, you know, and I've never been abroad in my whole entire life, but I don't want to be selfish about my, you know, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. I didn't really fancy Albania because it was the first time Christians were allowed in the country as missionaries. And, yeah, I knew it was quite cold at that time of year as well. So I felt that my whole idea of wanting to go to Brazil was completely selfish. And he said to me these words, which really have stuck with me. He said, Rosie, just follow your heart. And I thought, it's okay to do that. And I did. You know, within a few days, my plane ticket was booked on the way to Brazil. And, you know, for me, it was a big step of faith. But when you're worshipping God, I mean, your heart's fully engaged in your relationship with him, I don't believe we can get it wrong. And it wasn't until I was in Brazil, probably about 2 weeks, that God really confirmed that this was the place that he had for me for the next 6 months. Isn't God good in just the way he makes things? But engaging our hearts is really, really important. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And the next bit, and lean not on your own understanding. Understanding. We all like to understand things. Sometimes it can be the biggest hindrance to us becoming Christians or moving on in our faith. Because the way the world lives their life is we need to understand. We need to have the knowledge. We need to understand how it all works. And then once we do that, then we can believe. But actually, understanding refers to the mental process in which we analyze a problem. We break it down into smaller parts. And then make a decision about what we're going to do. Understanding is the decision ability that God has given us. You know, we need to understand things. But you know what? There's so many things that we don't understand. There's so many things that we just can't get our heads around. As Christians, God is a God of mystery. You know, we sing these songs, God of wonders beyond your majesty. And we worship God and we sing praise to God. There's so many things that we just don't understand. And that will always be the way in our Christian faith. But how do you deal with that? Even if we're not Christians, We don't like not to understand things. But I was actually thinking the other day, we do put a lot of trust in things that we don't understand. And sometimes we do it without realising it. I don't know, does anyone like flying here? I'm going to fly on Wednesday. I don't particularly enjoy flying because I'm going to Israel. I had a bad experience. I did an emergency land on a plane. So, yeah, I always pray a lot before I go and fly. But I have flown to lots of different places throughout the world. When Kirk and I came back from our honeymoon in South Africa, we flew on the biggest jumbo jet on the planet. I mean, honestly, I don't know how many floors it had. I just looked out the window and I went, how on earth does this thing get off the ground? It's just, it was the size of this whole sanctuary, practically, you know. It's like, how does this thing get off the ground? I don't understand it. Sometimes in smaller planes, I don't know if you check out the air crew and the captain. Do you look to see who it is that you're trusting your whole life with? You know, who's the boss? What do they look like? Do you think they look all right? Yeah, kosher. Sometimes on the big flights, you don't meet the air crew because they're already on the plane before you even turn up and you're waiting because they've got so many things to organise for such a long haul flight. But, you know, we put our trust in a pilot. In someone, well, a couple of pilots if it's a long haul flight, in someone that you don't even know. You don't know anything about them. And sometimes we don't even batter an eyelid. But sometimes it's hard to not know things about our individual lives and get frustrated with God about this. It's really, really easy to trust God with our future when we know that everything's going okay. But I really believe that when we don't understand things and we don't understand why things have happened in the path that God's taken us on, as we trust him, it develops a great depth to the commitment that we have to him. To not lean on your own understanding is saying, okay, God, I'm going to completely depend upon you. And that's not easy. Leaning on the Lord, just like we looked at resting your whole weight upon him. Everything that you are, even when we don't understand. I think this is a verse that I've probably read so many times in my life. It's a verse that you're thinking, oh, this is a lovely verse. It's so encouraging. It's just lovely to trust God and to know that God's there. And then when things have gone pear-shaped or belly up and things haven't worked out and my prayers haven't been answered, it's a verse that I've thrown at God and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Why? And it's not been easy. Because we live in a blame culture that when things don't go our way or we don't understand, it's somebody's fault. And if we can't find someone to blame, sometimes we just blame God. Trusting when we don't understand is just really, really hard. I think I could probably summarise the journey of my life up till I was 30 was, when things are going well and God answers my prayers, I read my Bible, I pray, and things are going great. When things are going not so well, sometimes I don't read my Bible, I don't want to pray, and yeah, the relationship's not. And then when I get over it, maybe 6 months later, you go back and it's like a vicious circle. I remember one year I was so angry and annoyed at God for a situation that had happened and something I just didn't understand. I didn't read my Bible for a whole year. But it's a total pain in the butt when God still speaks to you. I remember as a teenager, I learned so many scriptures because I was just so in love with Jesus. And for a whole year, I never opened my Bible. And every day, he would just repeat these scriptures to me. And it was just really annoying. And then I came to the end of that journey and I said, okay, God, I know you're real. I know you've got a plan and I'm going to trust you. And sure enough, God did pull through. He did pull through in that situation. And when I was 30, I just arrived here in Stirling. I wasn't here even longer than a month. And I got some really devastating news about a really close friend of mine. And sometimes we just get tired playing the same game all the time. I was tired of getting annoyed at God. I was tired of thinking that I wanted my prayers answered the way that I wanted them answered. And when I received the tragic news that my friend had died through really tragic circumstances, I just got on my knees and I worshipped God. And it took me till I was 30 to realise, actually, that even when we don't understand, and even when we come close to God, we can experience his peace. We can experience his protection. And we can experience his guidance. And I've never felt a peace so deep and so strong during that really, really difficult time. And I was able to say to God, God, I don't understand you, but I trust you with all of my heart. The next part that we look at, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall make your path straight. The translation of the word acknowledge is it's kind of like an imperative. It's a command. In all your ways, know him. It means to know him deeply and intimately. It's the kind of knowing that comes with personal experience. To know someone deeply. You know, you can look at public figures. You can look at people like the Queen and think, oh yeah, I know who she is. I see a picture of her. This is the Queen. You know, you see her on telly. This is the Queen. You walk into a room and you don't see a picture of her and you hear her voice and think, this is the Queen. If I phoned her up tomorrow, she'd be like, who are you? I don't know her intimately, but I know who she is. I know a lot about her and different things that you can read, particularly when someone's in a public figure. But to know God intimately and to desire a relationship to go deeply is an incredible way to help us trust them more. Very often, I don't know what your prayer is, but I've definitely been in this situation loads of times. Or prayer, God, what is your plan and I will follow? Or, God, here is my plan. Can you just bless it? Sometimes we go in two different directions. God, what is your plan and I will follow? I don't know if that's your desire. God, show me. I'm up for it. Or, okay, God, I love you. I trust you a wee bit. But here's my plan. Here's the deal. Can you just confirm that this is okay? And then whatever we do and whatever we read, we make it fit anyway. So it's totally fine. That totally justifies things. But to trust God with all our heart and to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge him, to know him deeply, he will make our path straight. Is that your desire tonight, that you want him to lead you and to guide you and to take you on this journey? And that you're prepared to trust him no matter what, even when we don't understand. One of the things that I just love about God, and this goes back to what I mentioned at the start, is that God knows us. He created us. He knows our future, therefore we don't have to worry about the things of tomorrow. I worked for a church, my first job, and it wasn't really a positive experience. It was definitely character building. Is that what you're supposed to say when you have a hard time? It was character building. I learned a lot about my character. When I left that job, well, when I was still in that job, I was just praying for God to get me out. I was like, I have to get out. And God just really looked after me and just prepared each step of the way. I went for my interview for Youth for Christ, and I sat there and they asked you loads of questions. I thought, oh yeah, I'm doing really well here. I'm answering all their questions and everything's good. And then they asked me at the end, can you just describe your spiritual life, you know, your faith? And I just said a few words. I said, just hanging on. And they employed me. I thought it was incredible. But that was me being completely honest. And I had an incredible time working with Parachurch. You know, they took risks with me. They encouraged me. I worked with churches all over the country. It was just an incredible job for that time in my life. But as I was coming to the end of that, God started to birth new things in my heart. And he had to give me a love for the church. And at the end, I decided that I was going to take some time out just to really ask God, what is my calling? What is the plans and what is the purposes that you've got for me? Do you want me to go back into the workplace and just work? Or do you want me to stay in kind of a Christian full-time work or whatever? And I went over to New Zealand and I spent a year there. I had a great time. But during that time, I was questioning my calling, questioning, God, what do you want for me? I was starting to panic when I was getting to the end of my year to looking at jobs. I had to look at all the jobs in Scotland and there was just nothing that I was interested in. And then I came back to Scotland and I had to sign on for a couple of weeks. And then I just did some agency work and I was just hanging about, you know. I was praying, God, show me, what do you have planned for me? I've got nothing. It's a really hard place to be when you're very driven and you're very focused to have nothing and to not know. And I remember just getting a phone call from David Barry, who was the former youth pastor of this church. He says, Rosie, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. He's like, I've got a job for you. And he asked me if I would come and help out at the rock next door. And you know, just before I said, David, I don't want to work in a youth cafe. I said, that's not what God's got for me. That's not my plan. He says, Rosie, it's just a favour. It's just a favour. It's just for a few months, just to help us out until we can find someone else. And I thought, well, I'm not doing anything else anyway, so I might as well just come and do it. Because I didn't feel that was what God had planned for me long term. But you know what really amazes me when I was just thinking about it today is that God knew how hurt I'd been by church. In my heart, I didn't want to work for any other church again. Because to trust again after that trust has been broken and been battered and bruised is not easy. I worked in a job in Youth for Christ. I supported youth workers all over Scotland. They all told me how bad their churches were and how they were treated. Not all of them. Some were really nice, worked in nice churches. And I used to just support and encourage people going through really difficult times. Because the truth is, the church hasn't got a great history in employing people and looking after people. Some churches. And I remember just coming here, and it was through that relationship with SBC that 3 or 4 months later, through lots of dialogue with Alistair, that I felt I was able to trust again. And if this job that I did here was advertised in a magazine or newspaper or on a website, I wouldn't have applied for it. Because I didn't want to work for a church. But isn't it incredible how God cares so much for you and that he knows you. He knows your history. He knows your baggage. And he leads you step by step by step with just what you can deal with and just what you need. He brings you into the right relationships to help make known to you the plans and the purposes just at the right time. And when I look back, I think, wow, God really cares. God really cares. If I could tell you my own words tonight, what Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 means, it would be this. I came up with this when I was walking my dog this afternoon. When we trust God, it means engaging our whole hearts. It really helps. When we don't understand, it's okay. But to know him more intimately is what will make the difference in trusting God with our future. I'll say that again. When we engage our whole heart, it really helps. When we don't understand, it's okay. But to know him more intimately is what will make the difference in trusting God with our future. But then God really spoke to me and said something else this afternoon. He said, let me read it again. When we don't engage our hearts, he still cares. And when we don't understand and we get angry and we shout at him and we tell him that life's not fair, he still cares. And when we don't have that desire to know him more intimately, we don't have that desire to go deeper, he still cares. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is a piece of treasure to help us stay on track. Sometimes we don't get it right. But do you know what I believe? God can intervene at any point. Because that's how much he cares. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the way that you look after us, for the way that you just care. God, so many times we just don't get it right. So many times we make mistakes. So many times we think it's unfair. But Lord, I pray tonight that you will help us to trust you with every area of our lives, to trust you with our future. I just ask this in your powerful name. Amen.